Okay, so now we are on the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the last two lines. The Gemara asks, V'idach Mahi, we're trying to find out all the different gzeros. There are 18 gzeros on one day where Beis Shammai wins out over Beis Hillel. So what's another one? Didnan, Kol HaMetaltalim, Mevin Es HaTuma Ba'ove HaMardeya. So this says the following. The Mishan Olos, Perek Tes Zayin Mishan Alev says, That one of the ways that you could convey tumah, ritual impurity, is if you have a corpse and there's something called ohel. So the tumas ohel could be where, let's say, you're in the same room, the same tent as the mace, as the corpse, right? When you go to a funeral, right? And the aron, the coffin is there. So that would convey tumas ohel if we're in the same room. Another possibility of ohel is a situation when you have an object that is ma'ahil, that sort of hovers over the corpse. So that's this case. This case is, let's say you have a movable object, you have a kli, utensil. So, and let's say it hovers over the corpse, a kever, and on kalim. Let's say it's a thick object, that's both on top of a kli and on top of a corpse. So in other words, you have the object that's on top, and you have the kli that's on the bottom, and let's say there's a kli and a mace side by side. But there's a kli on top, which is over both of them. So the Gemara says, Mevi'in esatuma ba'ove ha-metaltalin ba'ove ha-mardeya. So in other words, because the kli is on top of the corpse, so the kli becomes tameh. And now that the kli is on top of, the object is on top of another kli, because it's an ohel, it hovers over two different things, the corpse and the kli, so that it makes the second kli tame. So you got, it becomes tame from the mace, and then it makes the kli that it's on top of also tame, provided that it has the thickness of a mardea, this kind of, the stick that you use to, it's called an ox goad, I guess the stick that you use to lead the cattle when you are plowing with it, and it is 1/3 of a tefach. So that's the Mishnah. And Amar Rabbi Tarfon says, Akapeach es banai, I will bury my son. So this is viewed as like a shvua, like God forbid, like I will bury my son, Shizo Halacha Mukupachas, because this is an incorrect halacha. In other words, he's saying, you know, I make a shvua over the life of my son that this is not a correct halacha. Sheshama shomea vita, that the person who heard this halacha heard it. He heard a question that was asked on something that happened and how they paskin, and he made a mistake. So what was the story? Ha'ikar over. There was a farmer who was, you know, passing by his field, Umar Da'o, and his ox goad, ala kever, passed over a kever. Okay, and then what happened? And he asked in the Beis Medrash, now does the farmer become tamei? And they paskined that the farmer does become tamei. The listener thought that the farmer becomes tamei for 7 days because of the corpse. Because what happened? The ox goad served as an ohel, was ma'ahil. The ox goad basically, I think, like part of the ox goad was on top of the person's shoulder, and part of it was over the kever, over the plot, the burial plot. So therefore, he thought that the mardea, the ox goad, becomes tameh from the corpse, and it transmits tuma, ritual impurity, to the person for 7 full days, as if the person touched the corpse, when in reality, that's not the case. Because what happened? It's simply the kli, the ox goad, became tame from the corpse. The ox goad now becomes an avatuma, right? Because it touches the corpse, and then the kli becomes. I'm sorry. The kli may become a rishon. I'm not sure. So I'm sorry. The kli becomes, if it touches a corpse, so then it actually may become, but it didn't touch it, it was an ohel. So I think it becomes tamei, I think a rishon, and then, let me say it again. The kli becomes an avatuma, and it transmits tuma to the person, but the person only becomes tamei for 1 day. So the guy thought he became tamei for 7 days. So the Gemara continues, Timu also mishum kelim amahilim al hames. So they were mitame, the person, because of a kli that becomes an ohel over a mace. The kli that became over ohel over a mace. So it becomes an avatuma, right? The kli has becomes tummy for 7 days. But the farmer who touched the kli becomes a rishon, and he only becomes tummy for 1 day. But the guy made a mistake, okay? So now we're now, a few people came a little bit after, we're in the fourth line of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Niya Taken, Sheyuhu Divrei Chachamim. I will fix, and I will explain the situation, in which case the opinion of the Chachamim will be Kayamim, where there will be a tuma for 7 days on a rabbinic level. And so here we have another decree. Okay. But we're going to get through this. We have another Amud of Tuma and Tahara. We'll get through it. And then we have other stuff. So he says the following, Sheyuhu Kolam Etaltli Mevian Es HaTuma. Al ha'adam shenose osan ba'ove hamardeya. And they made a gzeira that all metaltalim, all, let's say, movable object, bring tumas ohel on a person who carries it if they have if they're holding the thickness of this ox goad whose circumference is a tefach. Okay? Because the rabbis made a decree, and they were metame 7 days. We're going to see. They were metame that the person is tame for 7 days, tumas ohel. Okay? So what's the concern? That since we're forced to be metame someone who carries, let's say, this ox goad with at least on a Doraisa level 1 day, because of this Tumas Ohel. So there's a concern that they will make a mistake and they will think that the person became Tameh because of the Kli. And they're going to think that anyone who goes into an Ohel is only Metameh Tumas Erev. In other words, normally the halacha is, let's say if I walk into a room, in the same room, and there is a corpse there. So I become Tameh Tumas Ohel for 7 full days. Our case is what? Our case is the Kli, the ox goad, became Tameh from the corpse through Tumas Ohel. And then because I touched the ox goad, so I became Tameh. If we were to say, and so on a Torah level, then I'm only Tameh for 1 day because I became Tameh from the ox goad, which came Tameh from the corpse. If we would say, so the concern is that people will think that, oh, I'm only coming for 1 day. Why? Because Tumas Ohel is only 1 day. They're not going to realize that it was a double step. It was from the Kever to the ox goad to me. They're not going to realize this double step. And therefore, on a rabbinic level, even when you have this double step from the Kever to the ox goad to me, we're going to say you should be Tameh for 7 days. That was the reason for the gzeira. And Rabbi Akiva also said, Va'al Atzman, and on the Kelim themselves, V'chol Shehein, that they are Tameh on a De'oraisa level, that from Tumas, from this type of Tumas Ohel, if you hover over a corpse, even if you have a small, even in any amount, they'll become Tameh on a Torah level. Val Sha'ar Adam Vikalim Poseach Tefach. So in other words, if the ox goad, whatever the shear is, whatever the amount is, if it hovers over a corpse, that becomes Tameh. There's no minimal shear, no minimal amount that would render it Tameh. But for that kli to make something else tameh, let's say that ox goad is now hovering over something else, right? So it's secondary. You're going from the kever to the ox goad to something else that's under the ox goad. That requires the thickness of a tefach. Vamar biyana yomardeya shamru. And this ox goad that the rabbi said that's betameh, someone who carries it 7 days on a rabbinic level. Ein ba'avio tefach v'yesh be'kefil tefach. It's talking about where the thickness is not a tefach, but the circumference is a tefach. Because if the thickness was a tefach, then certainly it would make it would be tameh on a it would be tameh tumas ohel on a Torah level. V'gazru al hekefo, and the gezeira, the decree was, even if the circumference is a tefach, okay. Why? Bishum avyo, because they're going to get confused between the circumference and the thickness. Ula Rabbi Tarfo, the Amar Kapech Esbini, Esbadai, Shehalacha Zu Mekupachas, and Rabbi Tarfo, who said, oh, you know, by Mikashvua, that my son will live, you know, shorten the life of my son if this halacha is correct. And he thinks that they didn't make this gezeira. So, Batsaro Lahu, now we're missing one gezeira. One decree. So where does he get the 18th decree? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, af bedos kutim nidos merisas and bobayom gazru. So this gezer that we saw at the end of yesterday, that young girls who were kutim, and kutim are those, again, those were non-Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael with the population exchange after the exile of the Northern Kingdom. And there's a dispute over their halachic status, whether they're Geri Ebes or Geri Arayos, whether they are full-fledged converts or not. So apparently they, we treat their children as if, even if the girls see blood at an early age, so that we treat them as nidos, as that they have nida, but the kutim do not treat that them as nidos. So therefore, we decree that all their, you know, if they touch something, then we treat it as if they were tame. So that's an additional one. And then be'idach, yeah. But what about? And the Gemara says, oh, wait a second. Remember we saw yesterday. We saw that there was someone already used that because they were ready to make it to the 18th. So be'idach sphere like Rabbi Meir. They hold like Rabbi Meir. In other words, there was a debate yesterday whether there indeed was a decree or not a decree. So there's one who basically said, there was this machlokes and it was decided like Beis Shammai, that was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi said that no, that wasn't decided. So he had to add in this gezeira of the benos kusim. So Rabbi Tarfon cannot hold like Rabbi Yossi. Because basically, Rabbi Yossi knocks out one from yesterday, Rabbi Tarfon knocks out one from today, and they both add the same thing. So you can't hold like both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yossi, because then you're knocking out two and only adding in one. That's all that it says. Okay, now we're going to do a new gezeira. Okay, ve'idach, another gezeira. Habotzer legas, let's say that you are harvesting grapes in a wine press. Shamai Omer Huchshar. Shammai says the grapes are susceptible to becoming tame. So what does this have to do with, what does it mean susceptible to becoming tame? So food could only become tame. Let's say you have a food, a completely dry food that was never in contact with liquids. And let's say it touches a corpse. That food will not become tame. Food has to first be machshir lekabel tuma. It first has to become susceptible to receive tuma. How does it become susceptible to receive tuba? It's only if with the willingness of the intention of the owner of the food, if water or one of seven other liquids like dew, oil, wine, blood, milk, or honey has to touch the food with the intent of the baal, the owner, then they become susceptible from tuma. So when you are harvesting grapes, so what happens? The liquid comes out probably a little bit when you're harvesting. Some of the juice comes out and it touches the grapes, but that is not willing because number one, no liquid falls on the grapes, or even if liquid falls on it, you're not saving that wine. You're not saving the liquid there. You're just harvesting it, and the liquid is what's called holech li'ibud. So therefore, on a Torah level, it should not be mekabel tuba. But Shammai said that it is makshir, it is susceptible to tuma. And Hillel Omer lo hukshar, Hillel says, it's not makshir lekabel tuba. So Omer lo Hillel, we're going to see the reason for the gzeira shortly. Amar lo hilo l'shav. Hilo says to Shav, Nima botri betara. He says, why you require to harvest them with tahor kelim? In other words, Hilo says to Shav, why do you need this rule of tahara? The ein moskim betara, but you don't require that by olives. In other words, the same issue by grapes should apply to olives as well. If you're going to say that grapes are machshir lekabel tuma, when you harvest them, you should say the same thing for olives. So Amar lo im takditeni goes ready tuma af al hamasika. Oh yeah, if you anger me to compare olives to grapes, I'll make the gzera for olives also. Now, certainly the intent of Shammai was not to make the gzera on this on olives now because he was angered by Hillel, but Shammai and Hillel discuss it for a long time, and basically.
Is this another example of where Hillel argues with Shammai, but it's not basically on Beis Shammai?
Yeah, this is another example where they argue. And then we're going to see, the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Noatsu cherev beis hamedrash, v'amru hanichnas yikares v'yotel yetzei. So they put a spear, they stuck a spear in the beis hamedrash, and they said, if anyone who wants to enter the beis hamedrash should enter, but if you want to leave, you can't leave. Because they wanted to decide, they're arguing back and forth, who's the halacha? Then they decide halacha is like Shammai over Hillel. Vos hayom haya Hillel kafuv Yosef nei Shammai ke'echad min ha-talmidim. And that day Hillel was like he bowed down. He was deferential before Shammai, like one of the students. Vayakasha li'Yisrael ke'yom shenasebo egel. This day was as difficult as they made the egel. Why? Because Hillel was the nasi, and but he was so humble. The Chassam Sofer explains that just like when it comes to the ego, they didn't listen to Aaron because of his humility and the stubbornness of those who were against him. So too, even though he was the Nasi, they didn't listen to him, and he was humble. He wasn't makpid on his kavod. The gods are Shammai v'Hillel, and Shammai and Hillel made a decree to make the grapes machshel kavod tuma. But this gezeira did not win out. But va'asu tamidayu. But the students came, the kiblu midayu, and they did accept it. So it only became a gezeira of the kiblu midayu. So this only became effective with the students of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and this is one of the 18 decrees. Okay. So now the Gemara is now going to ask my timer, what's the reason? We're about 10-12 lines from the bottom of Daf Yudzayim and Aleph. What's the reason for this gzeira? Because isn't the liquid holech li'ibud? They're not. It's going to be thrown away. Amar Zirim Rav Chanina gzeira shema yivtzeredu bekupos tabeos. We have a decree that you might collect them in impure boxes. So apparently there is an opinion. We're going to see Hanicha Laman de Amar kli tamei choshev mashkin shapir. There's an opinion in Tosefta and Machshir and Perek Beis Halacha Beis that let's say you have a box that's Tamei and liquid seeps out of fruit, and simultaneous with the liquid seeping out of the fruit, it touches something that's Tamei. So even though you didn't, let's say, have the liquid intentionally, you're not interested in the liquid, but if when the liquid seeps out simultaneously, it touches a Tameh box, so then that's sufficient to be Machshir L'Kabel Tuma, to make the fruit susceptible to Tuma. And so then that opinion will work well. El Amanda Amar, Ein Kli Tameh Choshi Mashi, Michael Meir. But if you don't hold like this, what can you say? El Amar Zimar of Chanina, another possibility, what the base of the Zerah of Shammai was, Shema Yiv Tzeredi B'Kupos Mizu Pafos. Maybe you will harvest them in boxes that were covered with pitch so that the liquid will not flow out from them. So since you're doing that, then the liquid, you obviously want to keep the liquid, and therefore in that case, it would be Tameh. So we say in all cases when you harvest, so we're going to be Machshir L'Kabel Tuma. Presumably, this wasn't such a concern when it came to olives. Rava Abar Gezer Mishum Hanoshchos. So this is, we're making Zera in a situation where you have individual grapes that are touching each other, and when you harvest, and when you collect the grapes, you're separating them biyadayim. So apparently, if you use your hands, we are more strict. because we take your hands, and certainly then why are we more shook when using your hands as opposed to using a kli to harvest them? When you use your hands, then apparently, definitely, inevitably, liquid will leave, and you know that liquid will leave. And therefore, since you're using it with your hands and you know liquid will leave, so that's considered leratzon, willing to the intention of the person, the farmer, and therefore the grapes are machshir lekabel tuma. They are machshir lekabel tuma. So gzeira, because of this situation, Shammai said, in all instances when you harvest grapes, so the grapes are machshir lekabel tuma. They're susceptible now to tuma because of the liquid. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabba Bar Avua, so he gives another reason. Pamishan Maholech Lekarmo Leidai Megiyo Anavim Lebzira Olo Venota Eshkol Anavim Lesochto Umezalef Agave Anavim Uvishas Betzira Dai Mashke Tofech Alev. He says sometimes a person goes to his vineyard, he wants to see if the grapes are fit for harvesting or not, and he takes a cluster of grapes to squeeze them, to see if the juice is good or the wine is good, and he sprinkles the liquid on the grapes. And at the time of the harvesting, there's still liquid on the, there's still the grapes are moist. You'd only be machshir lekabel tuma if you pour liquid on fruit that is connected to the ground. The fruit is not machshir lekabel tuma, it's not susceptible to tuma. The only time that it's susceptible to tuma is after you detach it from the ground and then you pour liquid on it. So the case here is that maybe the person will sprinkle wine or the juice from the grapes on the grapes, and then when you harvest them, there is still this moist, is still moist from the wine that you sprinkled on it, and that obviously you did willingly, you squeezed it out willingly, and so that would make the grapes machshir lekabel tuma, because this happened very often. So Shami said all the time, it's machshir lekabel tuma when you harvest. Okay, another gezeira. Last line in Yudayim and Aleph. Veidach, another gezeira. Amar tevi rishba. Amar Shmuel afdilei truma kitruma. Okay, bo bayom gazru. So tevi, what would spread out? I guess he was someone who spread out traps to trap wild animals. He said the name is Shmuel. Gidule truma are like truma. What are gidule truma? So truma goes to the kohen, right? So let's say you take, there's truma that go that the truma, and truma can only be eaten by the kohen. So let's say the kohen takes, I don't know, one of the seeds. Let's say he gets some grain and goes to the kohen. And he takes one of the seeds and he plants it, and then it grows another crop. On a Torah level, that's not truma, but let's say that, so therefore they made a decree that if you planted it, and even that which is planted, let's say the seed is no more. So the seed that, let's say, was truma, let's say the seed is no more, you planted it and it grows something else. They made a gzeira, a decree, that gidule truma is treated as truma. We're going to again see the reason for this gzeira. So the Gemara says, my time, and what's the reason for this gzeira? Amar Rabbi Chanina, gzeira mishum truma tahora biyad Yisrael. Let's say a Jew who basically, he has to separate truma. He doesn't really want to give the truma to the kohen. So what's he going to do? He will plant the truma so that he won't have to give it to the kohen. Let's say he separates truma, right? He separates truma. And then he says, you know, I don't want to give this truma to the kohen. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plant it, and I will benefit from that which has been planted. So since they are saying that anything that you plant from truma, you can't benefit from, that's going to stop this Jew from doing that. The Gemara asks him that, Amar Rava, Ida Chashi L'Hach, if you're worried about this, Afushe Nami Lo Lifushe, the Jew won't separate truma to begin with. Why? Because came in the Efshel Meibad Chita Achas, on a strict Torah level, to separate truma, all you have to do is use one kernel. There's no minimum amount when it comes to truma. You can give the most minimal amount. on a rabbinic level, they say we try to separate, let's say, what, 2%, 1/50th of your crops, you separate for truma. But on a basic level, all you have to do is one grain. Kin Shmuel. Shmuel says there's no shir min haTorah, there's no amount from the Torah, and even one grain, one wheat kernel, exempts the whole pile, and then it's considered a tithe from a truma perspective. Velo ka'avid, right? Heimuna mehemne. This guy separated. We're not concerned that a guy is going to do what? He's going to separate, let's say, 2% of his grain. And then he's going to say, oh, that's too much. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plant all this grain, and I'm going to eat the gidule truma, what's been planted. We're not concerned about that. Or we're concerned, because why? If the guy is so stingy, he doesn't want to give to the kohen, you know what he's going to do? He's going to simply only give him one, you know, kernel. So we're not really concerned about this. Elo, so what's the gzera base? That gzera mishum truma tamea biyad kohen. We're concerned that, let's say, the kohen has truma tamea. And what? The kohen has truma tamea. So dilma mashi lo gabe va'asi de takala. So what's he going to do? So the kohen's going to say to himself, I have truma tamea. I cannot eat this truma because it's tamea. Ah, but what will I do? Let me wait a little bit, and I'm going to plant it, and I can eat whatever has been planted, because whatever has been planted is not truma. So what if it's tamea? It's irrelevant. What, it's not truma, so I can eat it, right? So we don't want you to do that. Why? Because what are you going to do? So let's say it's 3 months before the planting season. You're going to put this truma tamea in your cupboard and your cabinets, and you're going to wait for planting season. And you're going to say, I'm going to plant it, and whatever I plant, so that will be gidule truma, and it'll be fine. On a Torah level, that's okay, but what are we concerned? You're going to be hungry, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night, you're starving, you're going to want a snack, you open up your cupboard, and you're going to eat some of that, and you're going to forget that it's truma tamea. So therefore, we say that the gidule truma, whatever you grow from truma, is treated as truma, so that if it's tamea, so then he is just going to sort of get rid of it right away. He's not going to keep it around. Ve'idach, and another gzeira, is Amar Rav Chiya bar Abi Mishmei De'ula, af mi shehechshich lo baderech, shenosen kisa ledachmi bo bayom gazru. So let's say you're walking, and it's, finally we're back to Shabbos. It is Erev Shabbos, getting close to dark, and you got your wallet with you. We say that you give it to a non-Jew to carry for you, and you don't carry it yourself less than Dalet Amos. So what's going on here? From a strict Torah law, there is only a prohibition to carry from the private domain to the public domain, Rishus Yachdu, Rishus Rama, and vice versa. And there's a prohibition to carry Dalet Amos, 4 Amos, let's say 6 feet, in Rishus HaRavim, in a public domain. So on a basic level, why don't we say that you can carry pachos? You can carry less than 4 amos. You carry less than 4 amos, you stop. Then you carry less than 4 amos again, and you stop. That's what you could do. There, you're only violating a rabbinic prohibition, and let that be permitted in this situation because there's a financial loss. So the rabbi said it's better to give it to a non-Jew as opposed to you carrying it pachos mi dalet amos, because it's very hard to do that on a long journey, to carry less than 4 hours and stop, less than 4 hours and stop. Better to give it to a non-Jew. You should know that the Baal HaMa'or actually said this not as a stringency but as a leniency. Because he wants to say that since it's not so clear that we allow you to simply violate a rabbinic prohibition directly, that we allow you to rely on a rabbinical prohibition for your money. The Baal HaMa'or says that because someone is so concerned about his money, if we don't have an out, then he will. If we don't have a rabbinic dispensation. Then he will carry, will concern, he's going to carry his wallet, Dalet Amos, and Rishus HaRabim. So he actually looks at the leniency. You can't just say, if there's some financial loss, I can do whatever I want. So what we're saying here is that because when it comes to money, people get really nervous, and they might transgress on a Torah level, So we're telling you that you give it to, it's close to Shabbos, give it to a non-Jew, let him carry for you. Not everything is permitted for Amir al-Nachri to tell a non-Jew, but because we're concerned that if we don't allow it, then the person will carry more than 4 amos in Rishus Arabim, we allow you to give it to a non-Jew. Okay, another gzera. Ve'idach, Amar Bali Amar Avimi San Visa, Pitan V'shamim V'yenam, B'noseyam Kula Mishmon Asar Davar, that eating the bread of a non-Jew, pas akum, shamnam, oil of a non-Jew. I'm not sure if we hold like that halacha l'maisa now about the oil of a non-Jew, but v'yenam shel goyim, right? Stam yenam, right? Wine and bread we certainly hold nowadays. So, but bread, oil, and wine are from the decrees, the 18 decrees, because of concern that will lead to intermarriage. The Gemara says, hadicha l'rabi, I mean, for wine there's also other concerns, maybe could lead to avodah zarah as well. But hadicha l'rabi Beir, this is going according to Rabbi Beir, who holds that, because it equals up to 18. You know, if you count all of them, it equals up to 18. El Rabbi Yossi, who basically knocked out one, Shivsar Havin, so there are 17. Ika ha de Rav Acha Bar Ada, the Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada, Rav Yitzchak, Gazru al Pitan Mishum Shamnan, Val Shamnan Mishum Yenam. So he says, he adds, they made a decree on bread because they were concerned for the oil, and the oil they made a decree because they're concerned for the wine. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Al pita mishum shamnam, they made a decree on bread because of oil. My ume, the shemen yosemi pas. Why is oil greater than bread? Why are they, initially we thought that it was all one gezerah. It was all one gezerah. It was one gezerah of bread, oil, and wine. And now we're saying, no, there were double gezeros. There was first a gezerah of oil, and then there was a gezerah on bread because of the oil. So they say, why is that? Why is there first a gezerah of bread, and then, why is there first a gezerah of oil, and then on bread? Ella Rally said, no. Gazru al pitam al shamnam mishum yenam. Okay, val yenam mishum benosea. So there was one gezerah. They're concerned of intermarriage. So they first made a gezerah on wine, and then they made another gzera on bread and oil because of wine. And basically, you know, whenever you see these kind of things, you ask, is this a gzera l'gzera? We generally don't make, if rabbis make one gzera, they generally don't make a second gzera on the first gzera. But there are so many exceptions to that. So here the exception is that the Rashba at least says that the Chazal felt that if you didn't make the gzeirah on bread and oil, then the gzeirah on wine wouldn't stand. And therefore the wine gzeirah wouldn't, people wouldn't be able to keep the wine gzeirah. If you didn't make enough of a distance, then the first gzeirah wouldn't stand. So therefore they made a gzeirah on bread and oil because of the gzeirah on wine. And they made the gzeirah on wine, that the wine from a non-Jew, right, because of potential intermarriage. Val binoseam, and on intermarriage, I'm sorry, let me make this clear. And they made the gzera on binoseam because they're going to get very intimate with the daughters of the non-Jews. Mishum davar acher. So this actually is because of a avodah zarah, actually. Ve al davar acher, mishum davar acher. And on something else, because of davar acher. So we're asked, what is that? My davar acher. Rav Nachman Yisrael goes through all tinok nachri, Shemitame Beziva. So they made another gzeira. They made another gzeira that a non-Jewish child becomes tame, is mitame like a zav. Why? Shelo yehe tinok yisrael rogel etzlo b'mishkav zachar. So apparently there was a concern of homosexuality in those days. Again, I have no idea how prevalent it was, but they were concerned about that. So therefore, they didn't want to have Jewish children among the pagan children of that day and age. The Gemara says, "Ihachi l'Rameir Davi Tishsere Havina." Now, if you make another gzera now about the Mishkav Zachar for the homosexuality, you're up to 19. So they say, "Ochlin v'kelim shnibu v'mashkim v'chadach hashiv lehu." There was a gzera about food that it becomes tame with liquids, and kelim that can become tame with liquids. Because normally speaking, liquids that are rishon that cannot make you know, that liquids that are rishon cannot make food or kalim tamid. We saw that that it could based on a gzeira. So we combine them as one. Okay. We are done with the 18 gzeiros.
Rabbi, excuse me. You cite here that the gzeira on shem and on oil was rescinded because people were not following it.
Ah, very good.
The Mishnah of the Zara.
Thank you. Right. Good, right. So only, right, because you look at the halacha, the Rabbi only mentions bread and yayin. Very good. And so oil was rescinded. Very good. Thank you. So the Mishnah says, okay, what we're going to learn now in the Mishnah, we're not going to finish the Mishnah, but we're going to get, the Mishnah here talks about, can you leave something on? Can you start a process on Erev Shabbos and continue it, and leave it so it can continue on Shabbos? This is the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says no, we hold like Beis Hillel, which is yes. In other words, can you turn on, I don't know, an oven? Can you turn on something like an oven before Shabbos and let it continue on Shabbos? Obviously, there are rabbinic issues, but on a very basic level, this is the issue of Shvisas Kalim. Are you required to make your Kalim rest on Shabbos and not function on Shabbos? So they Shabbi over, but ain't Shorin Dio, Visamonim, Vikarshidim, Ella Kadeshi Shorubi Bodyom, Ubisel Matir. Bishabi says that you cannot soak oil for writing or dyes. I guess they would soak the dyes in water in order to use them for color. Or vetch, that for food, that they would soak it also in water. You can't do that unless they would be considered soaked and I guess finished while before nightfall, before Shabbos or sunset, and they still would allow you because you did all that you did before Shabbos. B'Shabbos we may nostim unim shel pishta l'toch hatanur. You're not supposed to put pieces or bundles of flax inside a pot that's in an oven so that they should become whitened. Elikadeshi abihilu bibold yom, unless they become heated while it's still daytime. Velo as at Sevaliora, you can't put wool inside a big pot. Ella Kadeshiklot Ha'ayin. Until the color catches. Unless the color catches while it's still daytime before sunset. So they still allow it. Beshabrawim a porcine mitsudos chaiva ofos vidogim ella. Shabbos said we don't spread traps of wild animals and birds or fish unless by the time you spread them, there still is time for them to be kept, to be trapped while it's still daytime, and Beis Hillel allow this.
Does that mean if there's enough time for the animal to be trapped, that Beis Shammai would allow it then? I mean, let's say it takes an hour to trap an animal.
Yes, that's what it seems to mean here. Right. As opposed to the other things, that the process has to be finished, here it would seem that as long as the time would be so that it would be trapped. Right. So the next thing is Beishavim Ein Mochim Lenachri. You don't sell something to a non-Jew in Erev Shabbos. They ain't told him emol, and you don't help him load stuff on a donkey. They magbiyin olav. You don't help put a bundle on his shoulder. That let's say you did business with him. Ella kadeshi gilim makom karv. Unless he can, there's enough time for him to, I guess, leave with his donkey or with his stuff, so he can reach to a short distance and reach where he's going while it's still daytime. Beis Hillel matirin and Beis Hillel allow you to do this. Beishami Omrim Ein Nosnin Oros Labdam. Beishami said we don't give leathers to a tanner. Velo Kalim Lakove, so you don't give clothing to a person who's laundering clothing. Lachobis Nochri Ella Kadeshiasu Vodyob, unless he has enough time to do it while it's still day. Uvachulad. And Beishami allows you to do it. Uvachulad Beis Hillel Batirid Im Hashemesh. Beis Hillel allows you to do this as long as you do it while the sun is still shining. Let me make this clear, that if you give it to a non-Jew and he doesn't have enough time to do it before Shabbos, you can't take it from him after Shabbos unless he has enough time to do it not on Shabbos.
This is similar to what you said about the car repair.
Correct. Now, Beis Shammai would not allow me to drop my car off to a non-Jew before Shabbos, unless he has enough time to fix it before Shabbos. Beis Hillel would allow you to drop it off a minute before Shabbos if you say, you know what, I need it Monday morning. You want to do it on Shabbos? I'm not telling you when to do it. Beis Hillel would not allow you to do that, but Beis Hillel would allow you to do that. Beis Hillel would not allow you to do it. We haven't discussed it yet. Beis Hillel would not allow you to necessarily, you know, leave it a minute before Shabbos and pick it up a minute after Shabbos, because that's an issue of Mir Lenachri. This is an issue of Shvisas Kalim or a non-Jew when he's being... This debate is when that if you give something to a non-Jew before Shabbos or start your Kli in motion before Shabbos, so it has to have enough time so it could finish it before Shabbos. Okay, everyone, listen, have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that was Gail in the time I was doing.
Baruch Hashem, we're good. Baruch Hashem. Thank you for asking. Baruch Hashem.